You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, your sports daily. Yes, I'm Will Ritz, and I'm your host. It is, if you're listening, it's a mailbag Monday, if you're listening to the podcast. Monday, March, there's a quick math here, Reach.
Brinson, you're not good at math, so I'll just tell you it's the 28th.
Okay, Monday, March 28th.
Boom.
If you're watching on YouTube, we're a little late today. Sorry about that. It is Friday, March 25th. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you either way. Like, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Make sure to turn on alerts. Baker Mayfield's getting traded at some point, guys. that's what we're rolling with. And of course, if you have a future mailbag question, leave a 5-star review on an Apple podcast with any question you want, and we will answer it. Breach, what's going on, buddy?
Brinson, the rumor around the workplace is that this mailbag almost didn't happen because you fell asleep on your couch. Your wife had to wake you up, and I was sitting here waiting for a half hour.
Not a half hour.
Okay, 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably like 8 minutes. Yeah, I fell asleep on the couch.
Betting on basketball.
Look, this is a young man's game, Breach. This is not an old dad game that you can play anymore. You know, back in my day, free agency was a simple thing. You know, you sign some people, you cut some people, you did some simple moves. Now, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson,
Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan.
Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. I mean, what are we doing? Our cats, dogs, cats' heads are falling off.
It's out of hand.
That's crazy. If you got a question you want to ask us for the mailbag in the chat, fire away. But we'll start with this one from Eric Blazel on Twitter. Maybe a Monday mailbag, but I have a question after the 30th blockbuster trade of the offseason. Very fitting, of course, given my old man complaints. What team legitimately can make the most of the almost absurd haul of picks that are given for these star players? Are the teams giving picks and going full Les Snead? F those picks, making the right moves. I think it's a good question because for instance, I did a offseason grades AFC pod that was live in the feed on Friday and live on YouTube on Thursday with Dejani and Sully. And we were talking about the Texans and like, how do you grade the Texans offseason? Right. I mean, cause they gave up Deshaun Watson, but they got rid of Deshaun Watson, which is a huge plus, and they got 3 first-round picks back. Where those picks will be, TBD, you got 13 for this year, and then next year's is such a wild card, whether Watson's suspended or not, or I guess technically jail is now off the table because he was not indicted by the grand jury. So if you had to rank your top 5 teams, let's say you got picks in the range of 13 to 20, 3 first round picks, 13 to 20. Who are your top 5 teams who's your number 1 team? And we'll work through the rest of them that you would trust using those picks.
Well, I think we'll look at that in terms of the teams that got a bunch of picks this year. The Seahawks got a bunch of picks for Russell Wilson. The Chiefs got a bunch of picks for Tyreek Hill. Obviously, the Falcons did not get a bunch of picks for Matt Ryan. I trust the Chiefs, though. So see,
now, that's interesting.
You do not.
Well, I mean, I think the Chiefs are a team that I would be willing to trust, but they just drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round.
Yeah, I think that was Andy Reid saying, hey, look, we need a pass-catching running back. They had the right thought but took the wrong guy. And so that's a pick you make when you feel like you're one pick away from getting back to the Super Bowl and winning it again. You know, that's not a pick you make if you're Jacksonville. Oh, wait, yes, it was. So I wouldn't trust them. That's not a pick a normal team would make that has a lot of holes to fill. But, I mean, you look at the Chiefs. They drafted Tyreek Hill. They traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, which a lot of people, when that happened, were like, it's a lot to give up to move up. And so when they've gone after guys they've really wanted, it tends to work out for them. And because they have most of the pieces already in place, I feel like they will be smart with their picks. So of the teams going into, you know, I feel like the Eagles, they have a bunch of first-round draft picks this year. Howie Roseman is a guy that I think comes across as smart in the draft room. So I feel like they'll use them intelligently. Mm. But, you know, I don't think – I don't trust many teams with draft picks.
I don't think. All right, Debo, what do you think about Howie Roseman? Because I think most Eagles fans would look at Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over DK Metcalf. And both of those happened, you know, within the first 75 picks and have major questions.
Yeah, they've gotten way too cute with receiver. I do think last year was an absolute hit with Devontae Smith. There was some other positions that may have helped. And Micah Parsons going around, you know, that's a thing that lingers out there. Howie's been up and down throughout his tenure. He really helped deliver them a Super Bowl. But the draft track record has been truly back and forth in more recent years. I would say more up than down. But unfortunately, that Reagor pick exists and that J-Jaw pick exists. Now, there's a lot of other GMs that passed on J.J. and passed on DK.
And to Debo's point real quick, every – general manager who's ever taken part in an NFL draft has some whiffs. Like, that's just going to happen. So it's easy to pull one instance out, just like you did with the Chiefs and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But so you just got to kind of, I mean, like I said at the end, there aren't a ton of teams I would trust with that kind of draft capital that I think could take advantage of it.
Well, the Eagles thing is weird too, because we can definitely give. What 2016 on is definitely Howie Roseman, right? Like those are Howie Roseman picks. Does that seem fair?
Yeah.
Right.
Post, so, that's Doug's 2016, Doug's first year post Chip Kelly era. Right. Yes.
Yes. Because, you know, before Chip got there, Andy was there and you have to give Andy the credit. And then Chip had most of the power, I think. So 2016 on, so you got Carson Wentz, Derek Barnett, no first round pick in 2018, Andre Dillard and Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith. That's a pretty good record.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, for whatever you want to say about Carson Wentz, the ability to move up to number two, draft Carson Wentz, the way he played in 2017, the team does not have a Super Bowl without that move from Howie Roseman.
Yeah, and that's definitely worth noting. You can't hold Carson. They got a Super Bowl. If you told anyone in Philadelphia that you would draft Carson Wentz in 2017, the Eagles would win a Super Bowl and that Wentz would be gone by the end of the 2021 season, I think they would all take it, right?
But yes, 100,000,000%. But yeah, if you're going through the first round picks, Wentz, no matter what, like, that's a hit. Barnett, miss. Andre Dillard, miss. Jalen Reagor, miss. And then Devontae Smith, hit, it seems like.
Yeah, I think Devontae Smith is a hit. And it's not like, you know, Carson Wentz was a good pick until they won the Super Bowl and they built the statue and then it broke his brain and he had to leave. I mean, that's, you know, just very simple. For the Chiefs and Andy Reid, Eric Fisher, and they had the number one overall pick. So it was sort of, hand was forced, but that was a better pick than Luke Jokel. D Ford, not bad. Marcus Peters ended up getting a bunch of picks. That was at 18. No first round pick the next year. Patrick Mahomes, that was a decent pick. No first round pick the next year because they traded up to get Mahomes. No first round pick the next year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and no first round pick in 2021 because they traded for Orlando Brown. I've tried the other team that I thought of was the Buffalo Bills. Kind of a sneaky team here. I believe that, confirm that this is correct. I thought that Sean McDermott was there in, okay, so 2017 was just like Andy Reid. Kind of crazy that Andy Reid and Sean McDermott were both hired at the same time, if you know their history in Philadelphia. 2017, Tre'Davious White, followed by Josh Allen, Ed Oliver, no first-round pick the next year, but they took A.J. Epinesa with their first pick, and then Gregory Rousseau. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. But then, you know, you look at the other half of this guy's question, and he's asking, are the teams giving the picks away and going full Rams and saying, F those picks, like less need, are those teams making the right move? Is that the right way to build your team? And I think that's an interesting argument. Should you say, I want the proven talent and I'm going to give up my unproven draft picks, my lottery tickets to get the proven talent? The Dolphins are saying, we'd rather have Tyreek Hill than these five draft picks because Tyreek Hill is a proven commodity. And then, or is it better to hold the draft picks and try and build your team through the draft because that's cheaper and you don't have to worry as much about the salary cap?
I want Brinton. I like my picks.
Well, I think this year's Super Bowl was an interesting dynamic of that because the Rams are full. We will trade all our draft picks away if it means bringing in talent that will get us to the Super Bowl. The Bengals build through the draft and smart moves in free agency. That's it. They are not going to make any splashy moves like the Dolphins made or like the Rams made. That won't happen. It has to be through the draft and through smart free agent signings. And so I would say, I don't think there's, if you want to build your team for long-term success, it feels like the draft is probably the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in a perfect world, you build through the draft. And I think the less need F those picks thing is a very different approach than what you will see from, you know, most organizations. And it can, you better be good at picking guys late in the draft, and you better be prepared to deal with the backlash of missing those picks. Like you better be good at signing guys in free agency. You better nail all your late picks, et cetera, because otherwise, it's just not going to you're going to get burnt at some point. I was kind of looking at the Titans as an interesting example because Corey Davis in 2017, I believe I'm trying to remember when they hired John Robinson. What did after they fired? After they fired Mike Mularkey? Am I crazy?
No, I think Robinson was there before that. He got hired.
Oh, he's 2016. Okay. There
right. you go. I think he right. was the one that got rid of Mularkey.
Yeah. But so, all right. So Jack Conklin, which was a good pick, but Jack Conklin and Corey Davis were probably Corey Davis is a bad pick at five. That's a really bad pick. But Jack Conklin was a good pick at eight, but they didn't use the fifth year option on him and let him walk in free agency. Corey Davis gone as well in free agency. Rashawn Evans, Jeffrey Simmons, Isaiah Wilson, disaster pick at 29, and Caleb Farley. So maybe hard to tell, but three good picks just happens to be two aren't on the roster. It's a bit of a problem. DM Mart 42 says, God, that Eagles Super Bowl feels like it was 20 years ago. It was 5 years ago. That's right. How many years does it feel like it was, Debo?
It feels like 4 years. You know, February 4th, 2018. So it's 4 years in real time. Yeah, I mean, a lot has happened to that franchise in the time since, and a lot has happened in the NFL. So yeah, I remember it vividly, but it also does feel like we're very far removed from Nick Foles raising the trophy.
Yeah, seriously. I got a sleeper team for you.
Saints?
Ooh. Yeah, Saints are actually a good one. But I don't know how it'll work with Sean Payton. I do think Jeff Ireland has a big.
Their 2017 class is still like probably one of the best draft classes of the past 10, 15 years. And that was with Marshawn Lattimore, Alvin Kamara, Trey Hendrickson in the late in the draft, and Ryan Ramczyk. I mean, they got everyone.
That was great. Here's a sleeper.
Marcus Williams came in that draft.
Yeah. The sleeper team that you want to give your first round draft picks to. And this is like flies in the face of everything you would think. But the Dallas Cowboys. Here's, since 2010, Dez Bryant, Tyron Smith, Maurice Claiborne was a disaster. Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Byron Jones, gone.
Keep going. What's the next one?
Zeke Elliott over Jalen Ramsey. So bad. So bad. But Zeke was a good player. Tucker Charlton, problem. Leighton Vander Esch.
Better.
Dealt with injuries. CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. That's a pretty good first round track record.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's probably like it's Jerry's like underlings becoming more powerful. You know, like getting more say in the room and all that. I'm trying to think of somebody else that's, because the Packers don't really stand out at all.
Colts are pretty good at drafting. You look at their offensive line, where they've got, I'm
strictly focusing on first round picks, but yeah, I agree.
Oh, you're only focusing on first round picks? I thought we were doing like, yeah.
Well, I mean, just because you're given, yeah, I guess you're given a bunch of draft picks. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Colts definitely qualify. They didn't have first round picks for two of the last 3 years because they traded back. Oh, and then they traded for Carson Wentz. That's this upcoming pick, but Quentin Nelson, Lee Cooker didn't pan out. Ryan Kelly. I mean, they have a bunch of like second round picks who have been monsters, like Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Darius Leonard, Braden Smith. Man, yeah, they've hit on some picks for sure. Anyone else that we're missing? I feel like the Cardinals are decent. Maybe Rams never will pick anybody ever. Let me look at the Saints real quick. So Saints, it's hard to know when to go back. So I think Jeff Ireland joined in 2017 and sort of helped fuel that draft class. Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, as you mentioned. Marcus Davenport, who they traded up for. We thought they were going to get Lamar Jackson. That ended up being a mistake. Eric McCoy in the second round was a good pick. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the fourth round of that year. Cesar Ruiz. Peyton Turner. Yeah, they'd be pretty good in the draft. All right. Anyone else? Nope. Cool.
So we're both guys that would build through the draft, though. We're not trading all our draft
picks. I want the picks. I want, like, if I trade the picks, I'm mad that I traded the picks later. Very mad. Okay. Next question.
Next.
Titans and Baker Mayfield from Luke D08 via Apple Podcast. I think Baker is super underrated and personally think he is better than Tannehill. I think we just sneak away with Baker with just a third round pick. So I'm wondering if the Titans could make a move for him since all other landing spots for him have been filled. As a Tennessee native breach or Tennessee resident, I guess. What do you think about that?
Well, my first question is Luke D8 a Baker Mayfield burner account?
No kidding.
My goodness, this is a very, very strong.
I personally think that Baker Mayfield is better than Tom Brady. We can steal him for a second round pick.
I think that I would absolutely take Ryan Tannehill over Baker Mayfield. And it's not that Tannehill is a ton better or anything like that, but at best, even if Baker Mayfield is 5% better, because I don't feel like there's a huge gap, this would feel like a lateral move. And then you have to bring in a quarterback who has to learn a completely new system. And you only do that if the quarterback you're bringing in is head and shoulders better than the quarterback you have, like the Browns are doing with Deshaun Watson. They don't care about all the risks that come with that because they know Deshaun Watson is much better than Baker Mayfield. And you know what? Yeah, the Titans have the easiest offense in the NFL to learn because all you have to do is hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. But Tannehill, I think, has done pretty well there. And I don't think Baker Mayfield has proven enough that Vrabel would just kick him in the curb for Mayfield. But you know what? Mayfield does still have two possible landing spots, or maybe the Seahawks. I guess the Panthers don't want him. So it's Seattle or bust, or the Browns are just going to have to give him away. We'll pay 90% of his salary if you take him in a trade.
Yeah, I don't think that a third round pick is, you're going to need a third round pick to get Baker Mayfield. Like, I think you might get a third.
Yeah, round the pick. Browns are going to give you a third round pick to take Baker Mayfield. That's where we are.
So I mentioned this to Sully and Dejani yesterday, Breach, and we'll get back to Baker in a second, but just curious what you think. Is it possible? Yeah, you always hear, and I've said this for years now, like, what, you know, you want to trade back into the first round to get that quarterback so you get the fifth year option. Is it possible that having the fifth year option for a quarterback is a bad idea?
I mean, not for teams.
No, but think about Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold this year, right now. And right. if you're a really good quarterback, if you're a good enough quarterback where you're worthy of being paid, you're probably being paid after your third year anyway.
Right.
So the fifth year option is really only,
it doesn't really serve a purpose.
It only gets used on dudes who are
like Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Or Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, where you don't know.
But you don't know who's going to be Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield until they play. And yeah. So you can't say.
I'm saying like Carson Wentz played out his fifth year option because they picked it up, but it was built into his extension. Same with Jared Goff. I guess you like it because if you pay them, you could still have a lower salary cap number in theory, right?
But then would the rule be, okay, fifth year options for every first round pick except for quarterbacks?
Like a running back, I think you want the fifth year option. Tight end, I think you want the fifth year option because the number's so low.
Yeah, I would think the teams want a fifth year option for everybody because that's how you hold on to people and so, at lower rates. And you know, we have that right now at the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. The Cardinals are thinking, why would we give you an extension now? Because getting it after the third season, even though it's legal, isn't something that had been big until really Patrick Mahomes. It's a short list of quarterbacks that have gotten that extension after the third season, but now it's going to be everyone because the cat's out of the bag and every QB is going to want that right now. But you have teams that still think like the Cardinals, like, hey, Kyler, we have you under contract for two more years. There's no incentive for us to do a deal right now.
Right.
But also that's created a lot of problems. So maybe you're right.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I just think it's worth thinking about in a different way than we generally talk about it. As for Baker to the Titans, I think Baker would be a good fit with the Titans. He is definitely not a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill right now. Like he, you know, they would appreciate his skill set and he would fit what they do on offense and what, you know, sort of what Ryan Tannehill is. But that would be a downgrade for the Titans for this year. Now, maybe for over the long haul, it's an upgrade eventually. But for this year alone, it's definitely a downgrade, right?
What's a downgrade?
Tannehill to Baker.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we have another Baker question.
Ooh.
After we pause for a second.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Paul in the chat asked, do we think Cleveland is going to hold Baker hostage waiting on the Watson suspension? He won't play poorly out of spite because he needs a new team, so maybe a safe move to do so. So it's a good question because especially, you know, we're doing this on Friday. On Thursday, Deshaun Watson was going to be potentially indicted by a grand jury in a second county. Now that grand jury declined to indict him. He's now been not indicted by two separate grand juries. That's a big deal in terms of his long-term criminal proceedings. So, you know, that matters, right?
Right. Well, yeah. And you know, he could obviously still be suspended because he has the civil suits hanging over his head and you have a shorter burden of evidence in civil cases. So he could absolutely still lose any one of those. And even if he doesn't, the NFL can slap him with a suspension just because they think he violated the personal conduct policy. And so I do think, as far as Baker Mayfield goes, that the bridge there just seems like it's burnt. And then they took the ashes and Baker set those on fire. Yeah. And I think that's why they signed Jacoby Brissett, because they have no plans to let Baker Mayfield put a Cleveland Browns uniform on at any point this season. I will be stunned if he is not traded by the draft.
Yeah, I think he's getting traded. The problem is, again, back to the fifth year option. Baker and Sam Darnold both have $19 million one-year deals that are fully guaranteed, and nobody wants them. I mean, people want them, but like, there's not a lot. Nobody wants Sam Darnold. The Panthers don't want Sam Darnold. The Browns don't want Baker Mayfield. So you have this $19 million cap hit, and that you got to get rid of, and teams know that the quarterback market has basically dried up at this point, that the Seahawks may want Baker Mayfield, but they're like, look, we're not giving you anything for Baker. You're screwed.
And that's where you were talking about with maybe the Browns have to give someone a third round pick, because maybe the Seahawks call and be like, look, Cleveland, we'll give you a fifth round pick for Baker Mayfield, but you have to give us a third round pick in return. Yes. And pay for half his salary. So
we're like we have enough salary cap where we'll eat Baker Mayfield's fifth year, like this year, because remember, like, the only option that a team would have if they traded for Baker and then wanted to keep Baker and Baker didn't want to stay there would be the franchise tag.
Right.
That's not good. Nobody wants you don't want to be going into 2023 thinking, all right, we just franchise tag Baker and then force him to, force him to stay here. Like, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, the Seahawks, it's not crazy. They don't have a quarterback that they can trust. And if you want to see it, Baker's a low-cost option to bring him in there. If he plays well, then you say, all right, maybe we'll give him an extension. And if he doesn't play well, he's gone after 1 year. And that's okay as long as you get maybe this draft pick from Cleveland. Yeah, but it just seems like a trade's going to happen and the Browns are going to have to get desperate and they're not going to win this trade.
Yeah, this is a lose situation for Cleveland. And if they get out of this without giving up a draft pick, in addition to sending Baker somewhere else, then that's a win. And at this point they have to get rid of Baker. It's too toxic to keep him there. They paid Jacoby Brissett to come in and be Deshaun's backup, and I mean, they have enough cap space technically to keep Baker, but it would be so.
There's no way that would work.
Baker's not the type of dude who would just be quiet and.
Unless they pulled what the Texans did with Deshaun Watson last year and just made him inactive every week. Like, look, man, just collect your paycheck. You don't have to come to practice. Just do whatever the heck you want on the side. You're going to make your money. Don't be a distraction. And you can sign with whoever you want next year. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Debo says, there we go. Jonathan Dunn, Debo, can you please make B&B? What's up? Answer the question of when that Welcher Wilson with two capital W's will get his Ryan Finley tattoo. Look, this is a good time to discuss this without Wilson here, because the reality is that Wilson has structured this situation perfectly. It was well played by him. I give him credit. I tip my cap to him. But it's also total BS because he is pinning it on who, Breach?
Pinned the blame on me originally, and we went through months and months. And then after I fulfilled my side of the bargain, which I had tried to fulfill multiple times, then he pinned the blame on Brinson.
Correct.
And now currently
he's like, it's not up to me. Brinson's just got to pay for it. I'm like, what do you mean? Just get what do you mean? There's nothing to pay for. Like, you know, like what else? Just Venmo you $1,000? Like, what are we doing here?
And so I will say, I actually thought it was going to happen at the Super Bowl in the lead up. It seemed perfect. It was the Ryan Finley game was the jump start to the Bengals getting to the Super Bowl the following the season. It was all coming together perfectly.
Yes.
And Wilson seemed completely on board with it. But Super Bowl is pretty busy. And
also, let's not forget that he said at the Super Bowl, he said, I've got to run this by my wife first. Like, I think, and I would say this to his face too, I think this is a thing he doesn't want to happen, obviously. And he is manipulating it angrily. Like, he's doing like dad manipulation where he's like, well, Preach, where's the drawing? Where's the drawing for, you know, 9 months? Like, you're supposed to, he perfectly put the onus on us for these, like just go get the tattoo, man. Like, it's you lost the bet, get the tattoo. And he put it on us. And that's why he's pushed it. That's why it's been pushed off for 2 years. Was it a COVID game?
All right. So do you think it was December
2019? Or was it pre-pandemic?
No, it was December 2020.
Okay.
So the question is, over under 6 months, does it over under before the season starts?
Over.
Maybe we should make him get it at the draft.
If we go to Vegas for the draft, he gets it at the draft. That's easy.
We'll hold him down. I'll bring my own tattooing kit.
I think his wife is not thrilled about the idea of getting another man's face or like a bee tattooed. We're just gonna get a bee tattooed on it, like a small bee. Or B&B tattooed on his left, like upper left shoulder. People are like, what's B&B? He's like, it's my nickname for my kids. Something like that. Or like Ben and
we'll know it's Breach and Brinson.
He's like, I made a mistake when the Steelers were good. I got Ben and Brown. Like, I love Ben and Brown. And got B&B tattooed on my left shoulder. They're like, who hasn't made that mistake?
Made the three Bs, right? Bell.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The killer bees.
But Burrow. Breach, Brinson, Burrow. That's all. Or B3, a B with like a three on the top. And he can explain it off as a Steelers mistake. And we'll say that it was.
Or he could just say he's a big fan of vitamin B.
There you go. This is from DM Starcatcher. Yeah, Apple Podcasts. Favorite NFL podcast. This is definitely my favorite NFL podcast. I've been listening every day for so long. I almost feel like part of the Super Friends. You might as well be. For example, when the podcast isn't posted by the time I go on my early morning run, I find myself saying, GD it, Brinson.
Gosh darn it, Brinson.
Gosh darn it, Brinson, as if he's an old pal. Keep up the good work. Anyway, question for the pod. If Matt Ryan wins a Super Bowl in Indy and they retire the same year, who gets in the Hall of Fame first, Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford? And why is the correct answer Matt Ryan, assuming Stafford doesn't get any more rings? Thanks. First of all, if the podcast isn't posted, I mean, it could be my fault.
Oh no, Brinson's gonna throw Debo under the bus. I can feel
it. No. I mean, it's. But yes, it's.
I just heard the bus roll over Debo.
Yeah, it's definitely Debo's fault. But as we noted on Thursday's podcast, Debo got three different shout outs on the all hands, like the entire company meeting. Three different shout outs during the podcast meeting for working on podcasts other than this podcast. So, and
Brinson's over here like, is Debo even here when he's producing the podcast, or you just have a voice in there that records and answers Brinson every like 4 minutes?
You're bearing the lead, Brinson.
Breach a shout out?
Yeah, Breach, man.
No, but I'm saying the point being is like you have two podcasts, this podcast and All Things Covered, that you were charged with making, like starting up and making, like the football podcast, and those podcasts weren't even mentioned on that. You had three other podcasts. What was it? Two soccer pods, and what else?
High on College Basketball. Go check it out. Nightly recaps of
March Madness. Top five on Apple Podcasts. Crazy.
What?
Love it. But I will say, if a pod is not posted in the morning, there's an intentional reason behind it. Maybe Tyreek Hill was traded, so we want to space out the AFC free agency grades. There's a thought process to this, so I apologize for you being empty on your morning run sometimes, but it's intentional.
Yeah. Debo is looking at the metrics. He's analyzing the graphs. He's studying the trends, and he is making decisions in the best interest of this podcast. As for Matt Ryan.
As for this question, I'm upset Wilson's not here for this one.
So I think that if Matt Ryan wins a Super Bowl in Indianapolis, now we have to assume that this is not he doesn't win another MVP, right?
Right.
Just wins a Super Bowl.
And Stafford does not win any more Super Bowls. They both retire with one Super Bowl.
Can we assume that Matthew? All right. So how many years are they playing?
I think Matt Ryan's.
Let's say four. Or three. Okay. I think both will play at least three.
Okay. Three's fair.
All right. So they played 3 years. Matt Ryan wins a Super Bowl. I think it's does at any point of those 3 years. In that Super Bowl, does Matt Ryan play Matt Stafford?
Fair question.
My point is, like, in those 3 years, does Matt Stafford have...
You're running around in circles chasing your tail, Prince, and the answer is Matt Ryan.
I think they both get it at the same time. But
no,
Matt Ryan's
that's not the question.
If Matt Ryan wins the Super Bowl, his credentials are better.
No, I mean, Brinson, I don't feel like if they retire at the same time, you think just with, like, I know it's a different level and there's a lot more separation between Brady and Ben, but do you think they'd put two in that class?
Yes. I think Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford would be like an easy.
They would love to go in together. They're the best friends.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Their nickname is Maddie Twice.
That's just a lie.
You think I just made that up on the spot?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to imagine that you made that up on the spot, but I also don't.
David Baker knocks on Matt Ryan's door first, though, if they go in the same year.
David Baker's
been relieved. Is it because he's doing it alphabetically?
David Baker's been relieved of his duties.
Well, they bring him back.
Yeah, I think they are boys, right? Oh, there you go.
I'm on
it. Season's newest bromance, Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford. Maddie Twice. You named him Maddie Twice.
But that was 6 years ago.
Yeah. The Stafford seemed like they'd be more fun than the Ryans. I'll just say that.
What does that mean?
I bet the Staffords go harder in the paint than the Ryans do.
No. Yeah, I mean, probably. Who knows? Yes. You know what's hilarious, though, is that you look at the stats right now. Matt Ryan's only been in the NFL 1 year longer, drafted 2008. Stafford drafted 2009. Yep. Matt Ryan just had a much more successful career until
he didn't play for the Detroit Lions.
He took over a team who had a quarterback suspended for dog fighting. Like, you don't start at a much lower point than that.
It's pretty bad. Good roster, though.
And then he turned them into a playoff team in his first year.
Yeah. Look, I'm a huge Matt Ryan guy. I don't know. What do we do? Like, I love Matt Ryan. I think both would easily. If they play three more years and Matt Stafford has a lot of success on the field with the Rams, makes playoff runs but doesn't win a Super Bowl, maybe gets to a Super Bowl, who knows? Doesn't win MVP, right?
Does not win MVP.
Matt Ryan would absolutely have a better resume if he wins a Super Bowl than Matthew Stafford. But I also think that both guys, and it is interesting, like the win loss record is stark. Although, if I do think that Matt Stafford playing three more years in LA, his win-loss record will look substantially better than it does right now, 86-95-1. I mean, look, the Lions are trash, man. I think both would go into the same class. That would not be a...
If only one can go in first.
Then Matt Ryan would probably...
Is that a first ballot class?
Yeah, it depends on what the...
Is this the same year Tom Brady retires?
Seriously. Yeah, it all depends on who else is up. Like, for instance, if Matt Ryan won a Super Bowl, like, this is kind of a time traveling question, but like, Matt Ryan wins a Super Bowl, but they're both Stafford and Ryan are eligible this year in the class that was headlined by Tony Boselli, I think both go in. You know, if they win, if he wins the Super Bowl, and it's like, I'm trying to think who, like, Larry Fitzgerald hasn't technically retired. You know, like if, like,
right.
So like if it's, you know, if it's a Larry Fitzgerald class, maybe not, you know, like it just depends on, it depends on who's eligible to go in. I do think both guys, I think the NFL would be fine putting both, or the Pro Football Hall of Fame would be fine putting both guys in the same class.
I mean, I'm just looking at like next year's first time eligible players, and it's James Harrison, Dwight Freeney, shout out Carson Palmer, Chris Johnson, Darrell Revis, Joe Thomas. That's the sort of class that, and now there's a lot of guys lingering that that got snubbed this year because it was a weird selection, but that's probably the type of class that they have a greater chance in.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Joe Thomas is a...
I think Joe Thomas is first ballot. I think Revis probably could be as well, but...
Revis probably is. I mean, he's like a Calvin Johnson style...
Yeah, Revis Island. If you have your own island, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Corner, like the player that defined the position in your era, you're getting in.
Yeah. Richard, let's see. Steve Smith will get in because he's on NFL Network. Patrick Willis is a good one. Who's Luke Kuechly eligible?
Still 3 years away from that.
Oh, yeah. It's true. My goodness. Antonio Gates is kind of coming up. Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers. We are getting
It's so weird to see all these names of guys that we've covered since we started at CBS or started covering the NFL.
I mean, I grew up watching Julius Peppers play basketball at UNC. Like, I mean, what a weird. I mean, yeah, Steve Smith. I mean, crazy.
It is crazy.
It is crazy. Clarence, he has a question in the chat. We can answer real quick and then get out of here. My mailbag question, there's been a talent flow to the AFC this year. How would an NFC versus AFC all-star game turn out? A real game, not the Pro Bowl, make the payoff be $10 million per player for winners. I mean, that would, yeah. I mean, you get $10 million per player and then you're getting a full performance effort from both sides. What about AFC West versus the rest of the NFL? That's a good one too.
Like, but I don't think, even though the team disparity is gigantic in the AFC, NFC, if you have an all-star team from each conference, I still think that's going to be close because it's not like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the NFC still would have him as a quarterback, or Tom Brady. You still have.
So obviously it's Matthew Stafford versus Matt Ryan at quarterback.
Make the offenses.
All right. So your coach is Andy Reid. Your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. Right? Maybe you could make a case for Josh Allen. But I think if you're doing an all-star team, you're taking Mahomes. Our running back is probably, for the AFC, our running back is probably Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, or Derrick Henry, whichever one.
Okay, either one of those is fine.
One of those two.
Our wide receivers in the AFC are Devontae Adams, for sure.
Maybe you put Ja'Marr Chase there?
I think Ja'Marr Chase is there. Yeah, for sure. Three wide receivers. I mean, you prefer to get
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
oh yeah, Tyreek.
Tyreek, Devontae, and Chase, Ja'Marr Chase is a problem. And Stephon Diggs is on the bench in case one of those guys gets hurt.
So that's a pretty solid receiving core. But then in the NFC.
Let's do the full offense for the AFC first. Okay. At tight end, it's probably still Travis Kelce, right? Yeah.
Waller. I mean, Kelsey's getting up there in age.
Darren Waller. Yeah. All right. So Travis Kelce or Darren Waller. So, I mean, you're loaded. Offensive line wise, I'm just trying to think. It's hard to kind of parse out who the best. Like, who's
Quentin
the best?
Quentin Nelson.
Yep. You got Quentin Nelson and Joe Tooney at guard. At tackle, whoever the Bengals have is probably fine. trying to think of the Ronnie Stanley.
Like Orlando Brown.
You go Ronnie Stanley, Orlando Brown, Jack Conklin. I mean, it's a pretty good group. Offense for the in it. So that's sort of like, that's a really good offense. Offense for the NFC is, I think Rodgers is the answer at quarterback.
Yeah, he's probably the quarterback.
Dalvin.
Dalvin or Kamara, yeah, or CMC. I mean, my goodness, what running backs?
They're loaded.
Yeah, those or Rashad Penny, either one.
We got Rashawn Slater could be the AFC's tackle too.
Oh, that's a good call. A wide receiver, I think the possible candidates just ripping through these divisions are CeeDee Lamb,
Cooper Kupp,
JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
Second reference.
Deebo Samuel.
I mean, Kupp, Samuel, yeah. Jefferson, Hopkins. Like, that's like
pretty
you said, it becomes pretty even when you discuss it.
Yeah.
Tight end, George Kittle, just as good as Travis Kelce, if not better. Gronk, Kyle Pitts. I mean, you're pretty loaded at tight end.
Yeah. And then offensive line, you have
some of the best offensive linemen in the NFC.
Lane Johnson,
Trent Williams.
Yep. Trent Williams. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely stacked. So the offenses are pretty even, right?
Yeah, I feel like it.
Defensively, you start with Aaron Donald on the NFC side. You have, do we want to build out this entire defense?
Is that what you're going to do?
Toss some names out there.
Okay. Just trying to think of the best defensive players. I mean, you have younger guys like Brian Burns, Derek Brown.
For the NFC?
For the NFC.
I mean, their line, Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Cameron Jordan. Those are two good.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald's obviously interior defensive line, who's going to be the best defensive lineman for either team.
Yes, the best defensive player for either team.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the NFC could hold their own just in a one-on-one all-star situation. Yeah.
It basically the way it works out is there's been this flood of talent from the NFC to the AFC, but it only makes the AFC deeper.
Right.
When you start taking like the best players at each position, you end up in a situation where.
Well, yeah, the quarterback's a perfect example. If the AFC is 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks, but the NFCs are 2 of the top 4, that means they're
for all purposes, yeah.
Right, then they're just in good a shape as the AFC.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it doesn't do you any good to have 8 quarterbacks if it's an all-star game, because you're only going to use one of them more than likely, and at most 2 of them.
Who are the kickers?
Justin Tucker definitely, with Evan McPherson as his backup. NFC kickers a little different. I don't even know. Younghoe Koo, maybe I would put there.
You could go with a Pro Bowl representative from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Jake Elliott, who only made the team because the actual Pro Bowl representative was playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Who couldn't kick a 48-yard field goal and ended up short?
That is true. Now I'd probably put Younghoe Koo. Maybe Jake Elliott. The AFC definitely has the better kickers, though.
But there you go. That's the tiebreaker. AFC is the better kickers. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
That was fun. Good chat question.
Yeah. Great chat.
Clarence wins question of the day. Is that the new award we're giving out?
Breach and Britson are the two head coaches. I can't believe Mrs. Wilson has any interest in what Ryan does anymore. I mean, I think it's more a disinterest in Ryan having a tattoo on his shoulder.
That's why he's going to get it on his lower back. Forget the shoulder.
There you go. All right. That's it for the mailbag.
Mailbag.
That's it for the
mailbag.
Hope you're having a great, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, no matter when you're watching it. Hope you have a great weekend. If you're listening on the podcast, hope you have a great week, because it's Monday, baby. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.